It's 101. Time to visit Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift. Thank you so much for being here with us. Hour number two of The Lowdown. Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. No Kenneth Rudolph today. He'll be back with us on Monday. If you missed any part of the first hour, you can subscribe to The Lowdown podcast and listen to the show at your leisure or relive your favorite moments all through the weekend. We're on iTunes. We're on play.it. You can go to KHDK.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can do all of that fun stuff. 2 o'clock, we'll talk about your Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks tonight. We'll also dig into the primetime matchup tomorrow with Kevin Durant returning to Oklahoma City. We're looking up at the TVs, and the shows are being broadcast from Oklahoma City and all that good stuff. It's a big deal.
It is.
It's a big one.
Yeah, and, I mean, to me, it's I don't envision it being a great game. I think the Warriors are substantially better, but I am curious about the beginning, the reaction, and if it's going to be ongoing. I think there's – I mean, I still feel like there are going to be a portion of the fan base there that want to cheer them, but it doesn't matter that if it's 70% boos, that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, I just have this – I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't feel like – I just don't feel like it'll be venomous. We talked about that with Sam. Will they boo? Will they cheer him first? Will they boo him first? Because LeBron was hatred. LeBron was pure,
yeah.
Go die.
Right.
This, I feel like, will be like, okay, yay, there he is. Okay, now every time he touches the ball, we're going to destroy him. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Westbrook part of it makes it unique because he obviously hasn't helped. And I think that Barkley had said yesterday on Inside the NBA, I was like, I think he should get a standing ovation. He put in – I think that's what happens in a lot of places, but this has become suddenly pretty unique. And one, that your team was close. Two, you left to one of your rivals that you probably could have defeated a year ago. Your guy you left behind seemingly doesn't have your back. Yeah, I think it's put the fans in a weird spot because I know there are a lot of Kevin Durant fans. There have to be.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really unique.
Again, we'll talk more about that right near the top of the 2 o'clock hour, right after we talk about your Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks tonight at the Golden One Center. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about Tiger Woods and Tom Brady. How badly do you want a Tom Brady autograph? More importantly, how much money do you have? Because if you thought what Johnny Manziel was charging was ridiculous, what do you hear what Tom Brady is charging? The situation with Charles Oakley in Madison Square Garden continues to get worse. Yeah. Madison Square, first of all, the security chief, I guess, was fired?
Yes.
And a couple of the security guards, I assume the ones we saw on TV, they were fired as well. Charles Oakley has been banned for life.
No way.
From the Garden. Now, we'll discuss that, but Brian Windhorst tweeted something great a few minutes ago. Now, Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN, but more specifically, he covers LeBron James for ESPN. And remember, LeBron James tweeted a photo of Charles Oakley the night that this all happened, and Dwayne Wade followed suit with something. I think Chris Paul did as well. Brian Windhorst tweeted this, and I'm just assuming he's not doing it on his own. It says, Thursday, February 23rd, Knicks at Cavs. LeBron and friends control first row of seats near the visitor's bench. You think they're going to make an invite to Oak?
Okay, I hope they do, but isn't the premise he's banned? I mean, what is banned? I don't agree with the ban, but why would he be allowed in?
Knicks at Cavs.
Oh, I'm sorry, Knicks at Cavs. Got it.
He's in Cleveland.
I gotcha.
Do you bring Oak in and set him next to the New York Knicks bench? I'm sure Dolan's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. Maybe Spike Lee will come with him. Maybe Spike Lee wears a Charles Oakley jersey to the next game.
The Knicks can't be serious with this.
It's one guy. It's one angry dude, and it's James Dolan.
I hope someone gets to him on that. You got to change that.
No one's going to get to him. No. I would be shocked if anybody got to him because, you know how stubborn he is, man. He's awful. I don't want to say top. He might be a top five worst owner in the league.
It's got to be, right?
He might be a top five. Yeah. I mean, he's bad. Yeah. He's really, really bad. And he's hated in New York.
Yeah.
It's hard to be loved in New York, but he's hated.
Right.
Yeah. This thing escalated so quickly.
Way too quickly. That's sad. That is absolutely sad.
Again, more foreshadowing for Three the Hard Way coming up here in just a few minutes, as is this. We didn't touch on this yesterday. It's kind of been floated out there for a few days. Curious your thoughts on this, Jason. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is going to toy in the minor leagues with the idea of putting a runner on second base for extra innings in baseball. And again, it's all to shorten the time of a game. Okay.
Hate it.
If Dolan is a top five worst owner, that's a top five bad idea.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't see it. I mean, you want to put it on other levels? Sure, I guess. But no, don't like it at all.
Come on, man. If you're in extra innings, the game's probably already gone on a while.
Right. And to me, baseball is so much about strategy, decisions that you make. Did you exhaust your bullpen? Hey, we made it to the 11th, but we've got three relievers left. They've got none. That, to me, I don't know. And I'm a fan of baseball. There's intrigue in some of that. Oh, man, they have to bring in their catcher. Whatever. There's different scenarios that happen. And you're right. If it's gone that long, it's probably a compelling game in some form. And I love that baseball doesn't have a clock. So it ends when it ends.
You know what you said there? It made me think of boxing. Because boxing is very strategic,
mm-hmm.
as is baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not, like, high on my list of favorite sports. Okay. While I watch them both and respect them both, they're just not high. And a boxing match can sometimes be a calculated event,
right?
Baseball games can be calculated events.
Yes.
Or it can be a giant slugfest.
Yeah.
A baseball game can be a giant
slugfest. Yeah.
And I don't think you can remove the thinking element out of baseball.
Right.
Because then what do you have?
Yeah. Well, now, there would still be strategy in their idea, but I don't like that. That's not that the game isn't played that way 1 through 9, so why would you change it later?
It feels like they're going to try to find something that helps them spike the ratings.
Yeah.
And the only thing that has helped them spike the ratings over the last couple of years with spiked athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need some PEDs because that's the only thing to improve. You can shorten the games. I think you noted that. I specifically remember you saying this, Jason, the day after Game 7 of the World Series, how long that game was.
Mm-hmm. And nobody cared.
Nobody noticed.
Right. Nobody cared. With a delay, but it was the theater. And that's where you build teams, storylines, athletes, players. And then you just build your fan base. It's a great sport in the summer. And I don't think they need to shorten the season, shorten the games. Just keep working at it.
And that'll lead us right into the first question here today in Three the Hard Way is, what we just saw a Super Bowl end in overtime in which one team didn't touch the ball. We saw, now we read this story on Major League Baseball. What sport, if any, needs a change to their overtime rule?
I say it's football and the NFL specifically. College, I'm a big fan of their overtime rules. We've discussed this a couple times, and I like the idea of how college does it, where each team gets a possession starting in overtime from the 25-yard line. All right, now we're dealing with professional athletes. They usually don't like to take anything that the NFL implements. Well, let's take that same premise. I don't know, put them back to the 40. So now if you fail offensively, you're trying a 57, 55, somewhere in that range field goal, which – you'll try it because you want to get points. Mm-hmm. The other team's also going to get the ball to 40 and gives them a chance to match you. You turn it over, the team that already scored one, or you go down and get a touchdown and win it. I just think it was fair in the way the rules are now that New England went down and scored a touchdown. It just seems strange that Atlanta didn't get an opportunity to get the ball. I'm not a fan of that. I think if it's me, I would change the NFL, and specifically for the Super Bowl. There's no other game. They could have put time on the clock and made it, or they didn't have time, but like where it just, this is when it's going to end, a defined ending point instead of sudden death like that.
I feel like the original overtime rule, which was essentially sudden death, field goal or otherwise, ended because of Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
I think they changed it specifically because Brett Favre kept ending games in overtime.
Yeah.
But imagine the Super Bowl situation. Reversed. Everything in the fourth quarter stays the same, but the coin flip goes to the Falcons, and Matt Ryan leads the Atlanta Falcons to a touchdown. Do you think there's conversation about how did we not give Brady an opportunity to lead his team, given the half that he had just had, more specifically, given the fourth quarter that they just had? How did we not allow him an opportunity to take his team down there and score?
Yeah, probably more conversation of it, but I feel like this is going to get talked about in the competition committee.
Yeah?
I do. I think is this, and they may leave it as is because they've already made some tweaks. My other point about this is we need to resolve the regulation or the regular season overtime situation. So make it uniform and eliminate ties. Ties are useless. We don't need ties. They're messy. We shouldn't be in a day and age where we don't have a winner. We had two of them this year, which
but
was strange.
But that 6-6 tie, where those
it was unique.
They couldn't make a field goal to save their life.
That was entertaining.
That was entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
But ties, if I was on the East Coast, I'd be mad because the game ended at like 1 or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. So I think they need to find a way to get rid of ties as well.
Yeah. I'm completely with you. Whatever they're thinking about doing with baseball, whatever they're playing around with in minor leagues and in international competition, go ahead. That's fine. Don't bring that into Major League Baseball. I mean, can you imagine game 7 and you come out for the 10th and there's a runner on second already, one pitch later, it's over. He a single up the middle and
yeah,
suddenly the game's over and it's like, oh, all right, that was a little anticlimactic, but I guess that's the new rule of baseball, so we roll with it.
Yeah, and I haven't read the details of it, but is it, can I pick the base runner? So my, oh, yeah, you have to put Bartolo Colon on second. You know what I mean? Or is it, no, I'm putting, you know, the fastest guy on it. It just, who gets to go there? What strategy? Or is it, I've already used the player, so I can't bring too many wrinkles that I just don't like.
It's like, okay, well, we're going to play overtime in basketball, but you can only shoot threes.
Right.
Or we're gonna have a free throw contest.
Yes.
With your
half
court. I get to pick the free throw shooter.
Right. Yeah. I don't like it.
They got to change the NFL one though.
Yes.
I mean, there's actually a couple of texts here at 44:11:40. Football needs to go back to sudden death overtime. Don't take defense out of the game. Yeah. I understand not taking defense out of the game. I don't know. I don't like the idea of I hate that the game ended the way the Super Bowl ended the way it did. Like, Matt Ryan never got back on the field.
Yeah.
It felt like I didn't see Matt Ryan the entire fourth quarter with the exception of that one pass to Julio Jones.
Well, in the old way, I can't remember when Brady, they were about the 20-yard line maybe when he threw the pass to Martellus Bennett that was called for the pass interference.
Yeah.
They probably run twice before the three times before that, center it and kick a, whatever that is, about a 30-yard field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, in the game, and it was like, well,
was
they're the champs.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, I mean, we need more than that.
Yeah,
we need more than that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we were talking about the Knicks and their dysfunction. Hey, we know it all too well here in Sacramento, Kings. You're not off this list. You have had years of dysfunction as well. So I'm going to ask the question, Damian, what is the most dysfunctional, I'll go organization pro, but even program, sports or sports entity out there right now? What's the most dysfunctional one going?
Charles Oakley has been banned from Madison Square Garden.
That just moved up the list, didn't it?
Phil Jackson. Obviously, it's the Knicks, and I just said that I think James Dolan is a top five bad owner in all of sports, and so this isn't like hyperbole and a reaction to the situation that's going on. But I want to bring attention to something else. Phil Jackson is the equivalent of another person that we know who he doesn't talk to the media, but he'll tweet like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tweet something that is clearly a direct shot at Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
And he'll get a response to that. But instead of talking to the media, he'll tweet again and say, oh, I just want peace. I created a firestorm. I just want peace. Let it be. Like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Dude.
You did it.
You're the general. You run the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
You just had a New York Knicks legend thrown out of Madison Square Garden. As of today, he's banned for life. Go in front of the media and talk. Your superstar, your star, your highest paid player, you're at odds with him. You're taking shots at him in articles. You're leaking stuff. Go speak in front of the press. They're a mess. They're absolutely laughable right now. And have taken over the Sacramento Kings as the most dysfunctional organization in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because the Kings aren't this bad.
No.
And if someone walks up to the CSN set and grabs Doug Christie by his nice tailored suit collar and throws him out of the Golden 1 Center, then the Kings can have the label back.
Yeah.
Or if they walk over to you doing Kings Live and grab Bobby Jackson and toss him out in the cold, then they can have the title back.
Right.
But the Knicks, far, far and away, are the most dysfunctional organization in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
In outside of sports, I tried to think of baseball, like Miami. Like, I don't know if the Marlins are one. Like, I know they're going through a sale. I thought of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if – I feel like maybe Jacksonville is in that category, you know, between their owner, the London Games, and all of the different things that they have going on. But I don't feel like there is anything as definitive as the Knicks.
Yeah. I had – it's funny, a couple of teams you said. I mean, I have the Kings on my list. They've had a decade of trouble and, it has been some disarray there. So they're on my list. 49ers, certainly, with the last 4 to 5 years. Baylor, how about Baylor University? They've been a major mess, but I can't think of the Knicks. I mean, just because you go – it is a – for one, let's go on the court. They said they're going to be a super team. Okay, they misplayed that. They're going to the lottery again.
Mm-hmm.
They're – whether he's their best player still or not, but kind of still wants to be there, but is feeling like he's being forced out, doesn't like Phil Jackson, who is a legend, but that feels like that's souring because he's gone to New York by his own doing. James Dolan is a mess. Oakley's situation was just embarrassment. So, yeah, right now the Knicks have the title.
James Dolan is speaking on a radio station in New York as we speak, and I'm kind of following the tweets of what he's saying. And just to further what we're talking about, imagine an owner saying about this, Vivek saying this about Chris Webber or something along those lines. James Dolan says Charles has a problem with anger. And then he also says, and this is a quote, he may have a problem with alcohol. We don't know.
Wow.
How the F do you do that?
You can't.
He may have a problem with alcohol.
Throw in drugs, James. Do
it. We don't know.
Right?
He also sleeps with little girls.
Right. Let's do it. Yeah, he's, harmed other
people. Like, come on, man.
You can't do that. You can't do that. As an organization, you can't. Let other people find that out, if that's even true, even remotely true. You can't do that about one of your own. You can't.
I'm trying not to be too distracted, but this transcript is incredible. If you have no opinion on James Dolan, read what is happening right now on this New York radio station. Charles has a problem. He's his own worst problem. People need to understand that. We were trying to be kind, but obviously that didn't work.
You were?
That was
kind.
Does James know this was on camera? Does he know that this game was on national television?
Yeah. Just tone deaf.
And there's
right?
like 4,000 videos of it circling around social media. There's nothing that would make me happier than Charles being at center court being honored by our fans.
Really?
Dude.
You can make that happen.
Wow.
You're the one that banned him. The fans would love that.
Dolan is asked about the direction of the franchise, and he says he's given full control to Phil Jackson, and it remains that way. I recognized 3 years ago that running a basketball organization is not my skill set.
Man,
what is your skill set?
Yeah, well, having a ton of money, right?
I can't get over this line.
That's
may have a problem with alcohol. We don't know. There are things you can't do. You can't
nope.
do that.
Yeah, it was, earlier today, Grant was on filling in for Jim Rome, and he had Howard Beck on. It was really good. Howard's been a longtime NBA writer, beat writer for the Knicks at one point, Lakers before that. But he was talking about just how bad it is in New York. And, Grant said, well, the interesting thing there's so many people that are anti-James Dolan, yet they sell out the greatest bill. I mean, they're always going to be there. And I think that owners always end up winning, yeah. right? I mean, because in the end, they're trying to make money. They want to have a winning product. He doesn't there. He owns the Rangers, though. Rangers have been successful. Mm-hmm. But here's a situation where as mad as the fans are, I'm sure in New York, they're going to be there in the next game.
Sold and you know what? And that's the catch, right?
Right.
Like you, I love basketball.
Yeah, I'm not going to torture myself though.
Right. I hated what the Maloofs were doing
right,
here.
But
I would have
gone to the games as a fan.
Exactly. I'm still a fan of basketball. I'm still a fan of the Sacramento Kings. I'm still a fan of some of the players. I'm still a fan of Dwight Howard, believe it or not. I want to see him tonight.
That's
if I didn't like the ownership, I'd still want to go to the game.
Right.
So you're stuck.
Yeah.
Especially in New York, man. Knicks, those fans, those are diehard Knicks. Yeah. They're like, you go to the Garden, you're not just some schmuck. Like,
yeah.
You love your New York Knicks.
But your example earlier was perfect. I mean, I don't know that the Kings have anybody quite like Charles Oakley, who's always been that intimidator, that menacing guy. But it's just put pencil in whoever that equivalent is here, and Sacramento's ownership and fans, not fans, security throwing that person out. And you're just like, that. You just can't do that. You can't.
James Dolan says he will not exercise the opt-out in Phil Jackson's contract and will give him the full 5 years to run the franchise. I don't think Phil Jackson's going to be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
He says, again, Phil has total control, completely refuses to discuss what is happening with Carmelo Anthony. There are I feel bad for Knicks fans. Like, we have a couple of Knicks fans texting in right now. Been a Knicks fan since 1973. Liked Walt Frazier when I was a kid. No question, James Dolan is an embarrassing joke. Very sad today. What a textbook way to ruin what was once a great franchise. That's from Darren in Vacaville. Darren, thank you for that text. Brian says Dolan should be impeached. I agree with that. I don't know that you can impeach owners. But I think it's a solid idea.
Yeah. And I think people have – didn't Dolan, I think I'm reading this from Twitter as well. Isn't he a recovering alcoholic? So for you to throw, you know, cast that stone out there.
It sure didn't look like he was – he had a drink in his hand the other night. I don't know how much he's recovering.
Yeah.
But, again, not my – I don't know.
Can't do that.
He may – you know, James Dolan, he may have a problem with alcohol. We don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's now an acceptable thing
right.
to say about somebody.
Yeah.
My goodness, man, you mentioned Baylor. You know, Kenneth Starr used to run Baylor.
Yes.
You know, we discussed what an absolute slime ball he is. Guess where he's going to be working next?
Where?
Do you know?
I don't, honestly.
This will be a surprise to you?
Yes.
The White House.
Wow. That part, the answer, I didn't know, but your answer of what you said is not surprising.
The White House.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. What a oh my God! Can we put Dolan, Ken Starr in a room with Charles Oakley and lock the door?
Oh,
one man walks out.
No, come on, that's an easy answer there.
Absolutely incredible, yeah. Man. We're gonna come back. We're gonna lighten things up a little bit. This James Dolan conversation kind of took a turn there, but we're gonna lighten things up a little bit. We'll give you an update on Tiger Woods. Spoiler alert: it's not a good one. We'll talk about your Sacramento Kings at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. More of the lowdown next. It's 132 and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm even without football season. Call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs. With Sierra Pacific. I wanted to start singing.
Why not?
I'm still a little worked up. Still a little worked up about James Dolan.
Well, that's easy to do.
I think another quote from James Dolan. I feel like crap Dolan said could be a Twitter account somewhere.
Oh, it should be.
I think Phil Jackson is a great basketball mind. Okay. And I don't think there's a way you could think otherwise. Really? Because I have a couple of ways I can explain to you why he might not be a great basketball mind. Diego, we appreciate the call. Thank you for holding.
Hey, I just want to thank James Dolan for taking the throne of the worst organization over my 49ers. I don't know what to say about that. That's like Jed York kicking out Roger Craig from a 49er game.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of similarities to how the Niners were leaking information and throwing Colin Kaepernick under the bus, and how they're doing it with Carmelo Anthony. And what do you do now as Oakley? Could he file a lawsuit to try to get back at the owner? Because that's quite an embarrassment for himself.
I doubt it. I doubt there's a lawsuit to be filed, certainly not from being banned from the Garden. And Dolan insists that the ban is not permanent. It's not forever. However, the implications that he may have an issue with alcohol,
that's defamation,
you,
right?
You can't do
okay.
that. Yeah. Yeah. Whether he does or he doesn't, saying, well, he might, but we really don't know. Darren Revelle doesn't tweet anything useful very often. He usually just sends pictures of really cool food. But he did note as he was quoting this interview that this could be taught in a crisis management course somewhere of how not to deal with something.
And my second question, do you believe Carmelo Anthony will be traded before the NBA trade deadline?
We appreciate the call, Diego. You know what, man? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think he will.
It's a hard one to move. He's got to agree to one part of it. So we've heard the rumors, but it's not an easy piece to do. And the Knicks don't have to do it.
Yeah. And I feel like he, if he doesn't get the deal that he wants, he'll just put his feet in the ground and say, you can try to weaken me with all of this crap to the media. I don't think Carmelo looks bad in this situation.
Nope, not at all.
Phil does. And Phil's got to be thinking, man, thank God somebody took the heat off me, because Dolan actually looks worse than Uncle Phil does.
Yeah, and you know who else? Like, you can just go to the layers. Remember when Derrick Rose just kind of disappeared for a day?
Yeah.
That's forgotten now.
Yeah.
Just moved on. That's Oh, that was it. That issue was really small.
Yeah, and we still don't know what happened.
Nope. No.
That was this season.
Yeah. That was like 2 or 3 weeks, a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, Kings fans, it's not so bad. David, what's happening?
Hey, it was in Wikipedia that James Dolan did do drugs, and he did do he was an alcohol abuser. And not only that, on top of all that, he was in he had a hot temper. So I don't know why him and Charles Oakley just can't be friends.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. If you believe what Dolan's saying, they should get along great. We appreciate you, David, man. Thanks for the call.
You.
And
we were
doing a little research on Dolan. That he's an awkward guy too. I remember being at a tech seminar that he was a part of, because he heads MSG and that's in I think it's Cablevision and all of that stuff. And he's just a really weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how any other way to describe him. Like his outward personality, not the way he is privately or the way he comes across, because he comes across as a D-bag, but
he's got that.
He's just a weird guy. Yeah. Like it's almost like he lacks social skills.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching the interview on the Yes Network. Like, at least he was like reading. It's like he had notes.
Yeah,
Cliff Notes. Yeah. And if he had to jot that down, and that's what he wound up saying, yikes. Edward, thanks for the call.
Well, hi, guys. I got something old, something new. I'll start with the new. Maybe that lifetime ban is just for Dolan's lifetime.
Perhaps.
He's 63, Oakley's 61, Oakland's 50, Oakley's 53. They're probably in better shape. So there you go. You can root for one guy to die.
Wow.
I want to go with yesterday's three the hard way, those first two questions, which were very good. Question number two, which was worst trade of all time.
Yeah.
The second worst trade of all time was on draft day in 1985, when Charles Oakley was drafted by Cleveland and traded straight up to Chicago for Ennis Watley and Keith Lee.
Wow.
And a collective rings through the crowd.
But the worst trade of all time. It's worse because it's double worse. And I'm kind of going to test your basketball knowledge here. There's one team in the history of the NBA that never had a winning season, and then all of a sudden they won the championship. You know which one that is?
Never had a winning season and then won the championship after a specific draft pick? Okay, you got me. Who are we talking about here?
Trailblazers. They had 6 years of they won 29, 18, 21, 37, 38.
So was it Walton?
It had to be Walton's years and Lionel
Hollins. Well, Walton played for three of those losing years. But the reason they won the championship was the ABA dispersal draft. If you recall that, four teams were taken into the NBA, and the other players were put up for drafting or to score or to pick first. Now, a lot of teams didn't know what to do, so they just passed on their picks.
Edward, I love you, buddy, but I'm going to put you on hold here, because I don't really know where we're going with all this.
Was there a trade in there?
Yeah, okay. Now, Edward, I'm dying to know, who was the player?
You just want me to tell you. Okay.
I do
Moses
just want
Malone.
You to.
Oh, Moses Malone. Okay.
Oh, okay.
What happened was
I always remember Moses was
taken first by Portland, and that propelled them to the championship, putting him with Walton. Then, because everybody passed, they got to draft Moses Malone, who was 19 or 20. But they didn't keep him. They traded him that day to Buffalo for a future first-round pick that became Rick Roby. But it's
Edward, we appreciate you, man. The vast knowledge on trades.
There.
Well done, Edward. We appreciate you. Thank you. JR, pick it up, man. Pick it up, JR.
You sure that wasn't Bill Walton on the call?
No.
It sounded like him.
He might have been handling the same stuff that Bill Walton. But he was just he was telling a long form story there, JR. Yeah. And I ruined it for him.
Trees up here in Portland.
I apologize,
hey,
Edward.
His name is like Michael from The Office. The way he has no social skills.
Who,
James Dolan.
Yeah.
He's totally like Michael. I'm watching that interview going, oh, my God, I'm waiting for Dwayne to come out going, I got you supported.
You mean Dwight? Yeah, he's not nearly as lovable as Michael Scott.
No, but I mean just the whole, hey, I think he might have been drinking, and I also think he ran over some kids at the parking lot.
Right.
Just throwing out crap. And then real quick, going to the big game tomorrow. Do you know what the big game is? I'll act like the last call. You know what the big game is tomorrow, right?
What is the big game tomorrow?
Number one Gonzaga versus St. Mary's in Moraga. It's going to have ESPN game day there. It is a big deal in the huge town of Moraga, California.
Ah, the varsity game was last night, JR, Oregon and UCLA.
Oh, Oregon is light, dude. Oregon, mark them down. They're pretty good. UCLA, okay. Oh. Oregon, you can shoot, dude.
Scoreboard.
You guys want to fight it out? You want to fight scoreboard?
Yeah.
Scoreboard.
I know, but the franchise
you're storm the court,
UCLA,
huh?
They're a mess.
Dysfunction everywhere.
JR, you're a mess. We appreciate you as always, my friend. Holy smokes. Of course, Edward and JR, what an interesting back-to-back callers right there.
That's the lowdown for you.
That is the epitome of the lowdown right there. Now everybody on the text line, though, what the hell was Malone traded for? Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know how long it was going to take Edward to get to exactly what Moses Malone was traded for. But he had a hell of an answer to that question from yesterday. It's 1:42, time to visit a Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift. We'll preview the Kings and the Hawks tonight coming up at 2:00. Bad news for Tiger, or more bad news. We'll explain next as the lowdown continues in 4 minutes. It's 1:48, and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm. Even without football season, call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. How bad do you want a Tom Brady autograph? Because he's a little bit more expensive than Johnny Football. He's going to be doing a private autograph session for, obviously, this is either really, really rich people or hardcore collectors. Let me give you the rundown, the car wash rundown of Tom Brady autograph charges. Footballs, $1,000.
Deflated?
Nice. Mm. Nice job, Jason Ross, ladies and gentlemen, at Jason Ross 1140 on Twitter. Autographed photo, $850.
Okay.
Patriots mini helmet, not even a full-size helmet, a mini helmet, $900. Now, if you want a, quote, game day style jersey, that's $1,200 autographed. If you want him to sign 5-time Super Bowl champ, that's an extra $400. And if you want a 20-character personalization, that is an extra $500.
Wow.
Now, I assume no one is going to take the extra character personalization because you can't resell it for as much after that.
True, but unless you're people with throwaway money, then like, I truly want it for myself or someone in my family, and that's the gift I'm giving them because I've got enough money to do it.
That's true.
But, man, no. The answer is no on any of that.
Johnny Football is not looking so bad now, is he?
Well,
that $50 selfie, not such a bad
deal.
That's
never been your thing, has it?
Autographs? Yeah, no.
Never had. No. As a kid, when I was I collected baseball cards, and one of the things we used to do is we would sell. I learned about how you could send in the mail, like just traditional mail, your cards to guys, and some guys would sign it and some wouldn't. Well, then you had to run the risk of, would I ever get my cards back? But then when we started having success, that was kind of fun. And then we started we were trying to do it as quickly as possible. So we would pick maybe the worst guy on a team and say, hey, you know, like I remember getting the joke was you send it out and it's you take a couple weeks. I remember getting one back like in about a week from when I did it to when it came back. I'm like, I was probably the only one ever that sent. And I can't even. I want to say the guy's name was like Barbaro Garbay. He was like a third baseman, backup third baseman for the Tigers. And I was like, wow, I got it in a week.
That's great. You know,
but
I have one really, really cool autograph thing. I have a program. I went to WrestleMania 2000. It was WrestleMania 16. They called it WrestleMania 2000 for some reason. And they had this.
Where was it?
Anaheim.
Okay.
The Arrowhead Pond.
Yeah.
And so it was when WrestleMania was smaller because they don't do arenas anymore. So this was in the year 2000. And they handed out these like program things that you could get autographed. And I stood in line to meet Steve Austin and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I met The Rock that same day. So I have that thing autographed by both of them. It's on the same page. And I've met Hulk Hogan a number of times. So I have a picture of me and Hulk Hogan autographed.
Uh-huh.
And then I met John Cena when he was still the rapper version of John Cena, and he was coming through, and we did like a 45-minute taped interview where we didn't talk about wrestling. We were talking about hip-hop, and it didn't dawn on me that a portion of this was going to air the next day, and I looked at the WWE guy, and we're just like having fun. I'm like, oh, my God, the show. I got to mention the show. And so we started to – so it was just this great interview. He signed this poster for me. So I took those four things and put them in a frame because if I were to name a wrestling Mount Rushmore, so to speak, it would be Hogan, Rock, Austin, and John Cena. So I have that all in one frame.
Okay, so that obviously means something to you. Is there a price? Is there a dollar on that? Like if someone said, hey, Damien, I really want that for, or is that yours?
No, the Cena and Hogan things are personalized. The Rock and Austin aren't. No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Nope.
Good for you.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I didn't realize framing was so expensive.
That's the big deal.
Dude, framing is
ridiculous.
Nuts.
That's the scam.
I remember I took it in to get, I said, this is what I want to do, and we kind of laid it out. He's like, okay. And we go through the whole transaction, and he was like, yeah, it'll be like $200.
Like,
at that point, it was like too late to go, dude, never mind.
Yeah.
I'll go get some of these cheap frames in aisle B.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, oh. Okay. Okay.
Now you're like, I'm definitely keeping it.
Oh, yeah. I'm keeping that forever.
That's cool.
But
I've never had intrigue in that. And, you know, if I came across an autograph, I mean, but even if, you know, we've run across famous people a lot, it's like, it just never, and I'm not really hey, let me take a picture with you, but I don't know, to each their own.
We have some cool things. Like, I have but again, when I say it, you'll get it. It's a lot more sentimental. It's a personalized, autographed basketball from Pat.
Sure.
And it has the Lady Vols logo
well, that
on
means
it.
Something to you.
And then there's the 2008 Olympic team autographed the ball. Again, that's more personal than anything else, but it has some great signatures on it. The 2005 Monarch team, we have that game ball autographed
cool.
on the – so there's stuff.
Yeah.
But, it's that stuff – the Olympic ball probably does, but that stuff doesn't have value in anybody else besides me. Tiger Woods dropped out of his next two events.
Back spasm, so.
Yeah, man. The Genesis Open, he's out. And the Honda Classic, he is out. The Honda Classic, I think that's his, right? No, the Tiger Woods Foundation runs the Genesis Open. Sorry, that's the one in Los Angeles that his foundation is in charge of. The Palm Beach Garden ones, that's the Honda Classic. That's just by where he lives.
Yeah, he's played that and I think done well in that in the past. So you're cutting down the number of tournaments before the Masters. I mean, the Masters isn't that far away, and I know he wants to play in that. So, to me, if he's right, that's good, but is he going to be right? Obviously, it doesn't seem like it.
Tiger says, my doctors have advised me not to play the next 2 weeks to continue my treatment and to let my back calm down. This is not what I was hoping for. I'm extremely disappointed. I am extremely disappointed to miss the Genesis Open, a tournament that benefits my foundation and the Honda Classic, my hometown event. Hmm. We knew when we got the schedule he was lining up for it was pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
And I remember the first tournament he got through, that real small field, I think it was like 17, he finished 16th. It was like, hey, he finished. That's the story. Is he finished? And this, you know, he gets to the second one and gets to day 2 and he's, you know, not shooting well. Or no, that's actually not true. Didn't he miss the cut of one?
He missed the cut of one, correct.
So he only played 2 days there.
Yeah.
And then he got to the second day of the third tournament.
And didn't make it. Yeah.
So
hasn't played a lot of golf.
To the best of my memory, he had scheduled 5. three are in the books. He's skipping the next two.
So that's it, right? Unless he's
unless there's something else out there.
Something. Usually yeah. doesn't. So
these are different times, Jason Ross. Yeah, these are different times. Masters. Yeah, these are different times for old Eldrick.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him. I know you've said for a long time you don't think he's going to play, or at least, well, we're saying he's playing, but it doesn't really feel like he's back in the mix.
Tiger Woods is all done. Back problems and golf do not go well together. Boy, don't I know the truth, especially when you don't know how the hell to swing a golf club. We'll come back. We're going to dig into Kevin Durant's return to Oklahoma City, but we're going to lead off the hour with your Sacramento Kings. The Atlanta Hawks are in town. We'll preview that game next.